Hey, I'm Francis Lamb, and this is Splendid Table Selects, our mini podcast about the stuff that makes us better cooks and eaters. So the other day, we were at a potluck at our friend's place with a few other families and all of our toddlers and kindergartners. And at some point, all the kids decide to entertain themselves by going to the next room and jumping on the bed, which was actually fine by us because it meant we could eat our dessert without them knowing it. And then my daughter comes out and sees us. So now we're caught, right? And we stayed calm and said, "Hey, bud, want a bite of cake?" And she says, also very calmly, "No, thank you." I'm like, what just happened? Like, she turned down cake. Then she turns around and yells back to the other kids, "Guys, there's cake!" And now this battalion of kids is just charging at us, screaming, "Cake! Cake!" So I have absolutely no idea why she did that. Like, why our kid turned down cake for herself, but then unleashed the hordes on us. But I absolutely do understand the thrill that the word cake brings. And what if you could have cake on the table whenever the moment called for it? Whether it's for a mob of kids or a quiet, civilized coffee break, even if you don't consider yourself much of a baker. That's where Odette Williams comes in. She is the author of the new book, the simply titled Simple Cake. And our contributor, Melissa Clark, met up with Odette in New York to talk about Simple Cake. Have a listen.
Hi, Odette. Welcome.
Aw, thank you for having me.
So what is it about baking a cake that is so special, you know, say compared to cookies? Why is it the cake that is the thing you want to make at a celebration?
Well, I think cakes, because they were traditionally associated with birthdays, just naturally have like a celebration feel to them compared to, say, a cookie, which is a little bit more everyday.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because I do think that that's what I kind of honed in on for the book is that here's this celebratory food that you can have every day that are like, they're more modest in their recipe than
right.
the tottering towers that you kind of see, which I can totally appreciate. But the kind of cakes I want to eat are the more everyday snackable cakes that you can kind of crank out within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have all the ingredients in your pantry. And you don't need to be an expert baker to kind of pull them off.
Almost like the cookies of the cake world.
Totally.
Yeah. So I get that. And just making it really accessible. And that's one of the things I loved, that you don't need an occasion for cake. That,
yeah.
you know, these are, and I feel very strongly, I actually wrote an article also about snacking cakes.
Yeah.
And the idea that you can have a cake anytime, you know,
yeah.
don't eat the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But having a slice of cake is, you know, it shouldn't be just on your birthday.
No, I think that's really, really important to just kind of give yourself permission, even if you're not a baker, to say, you know what, I'm going to make this lovely lemon yogurt cake and it's going to sit there and it's probably going to be gobbled up within the first 24 hours. Because I think also what I tried to do with the cake recipes that I curated was to make sure that they were really simple, really easy to do, and that you didn't have all this cake kind of left over. The idea was that, I mean, the kind of cake I love is like the cake that just comes out of the oven and it's like you cut it because it's, well, it's still warm because you're impatient and you can't wait. Like,
right.
You know, and it doesn't even need the icing because like the cake base is so great on its own. It can stand alone. And I kind of say in the book that all the cakes can just be simply dusted with confectioner's sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily need the buttercream or the other toppings that take time, even though they are there in the book as well,
right.
if you want them. But the cake recipes are yummy enough on their own that you can just like cut it warm, sprinkle some confectioner's sugar on, have a cup of tea, call it a day. I mean, I'm happy now just thinking about that.
I know. I wish we had some cake right here. You know, that one of the things that I love about the book is that there are so few cake recipes in it. You know, you curated it. And I think you write in the introduction, there's no chiffons or angel food cakes, that these are all cakes that are, you know, easily made.
Yeah.
And they are not the kind of cake that stresses you out. So how did you go about choosing which recipes went in the book?
Oh, yeah, that was tough because, I wanted to give the baker at home an arsenal of like back pocket cakes. I thought anything that needed like technique, anything that could possibly go wrong at home. I wanted to just cross them out straight away. And then also too, like when I first moved to New York, my husband and I, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment in Hell's Kitchen. And I just had Opal, our daughter. And when I'd have like a cake craving, we barely had any counter space. I didn't have any fancy equipment at all. And so I started making cakes that really could be done with like two bowls and a whisk and nothing really more than that. And, you know, a humdinger oven. And so I really had an appreciation for, say, the bakers that are limited in what they have on tap. So that's why, like, my chocolate cake, my lemon cake, the cinnamon cake, the madeleines, they can all just be really easily put together and really don't need any technique, even though I have, like, a few hard and fast rules.
Yeah, actually, you have some great tips for bakers, which I was learning something from reading your book. One of my favorite tips is check the expiration date on your baking powder.
Yeah.
So I went and did that, and I found out that mine expired in 2017. So, so thank you for that. I threw it out. What are some other tips for bakers?
I've got a few rules. You've got to grease and line your pans. I know it takes like 5 more minutes at the top, but that's your insurance policy, and that's what's going to give you a glorious cake at the end, and it's not going to, like, break on its exit, and you're going to be swearing your head off. It's like, this
true.
Is like your insurance policy. So I'm all for that. And then I think the other place where a cake can get unstuck is that I think that people tend to overpack their measuring cup with flour.
Mm.
And so for years I baked cakes successfully without a scale. So I know that there's a lot of people at home that don't have them. If you have a scale, that is the guarantee
right.
to getting the cake right. But if you don't, I describe a technique that I do, which is that I get my measuring cup. I like spoon the flour into my measuring cup. I don't compact it. I don't compress it. And then I just sweep off the excess. And then that way you get about 130 grams of flour in a cup every single time.
Right.
And that's, to me, the sweet spot for the cakes in Simple Cake. And because I think if you do overpack your flour, you will get a dry cake.
Right. You'll get a tough cake.
Yeah.
And then there's no going back from that.
No, there's not. And then I think the other part, too, that I think is really important for people to do is set your timer.
Set your timer early, right?
Set your timer early because you will forget because we're so busy, right? You're so distracted, so busy. And then it really only takes that 5 minutes too long for
right.
that cake to dry out and then you've gone to the other side. But even if you have gone to the other side, there's nothing like lashings of whipped cream won't remedy. So
it's true. You call the book, I think you call it like a choose your own adventure book when it comes to putting the cakes together. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I thought was if someone has 10 cake recipes
right.
and they're kind of easy enough that probably over the years you might even remember them off the top of your head because they're not requiring special ingredients. They're pretty simple in the instruction. And then I was like, you know, often like when I do bake, I'm like, what have I got in the house?
Mm.
That's often what dictates what cake I end up baking. And then I thought, well, if you understood I have these flavors and then I have these topping options, then I have kind of infinite possibilities here. And then it gives you more wiggle room as you get more comfortable with baking that you can then experiment yourself, that you can think, I'll try the chocolate madeleines and maybe I'll dip them in, you know, Toblerone ganache. That sounds good. Often when you bake a cake, it kind of gets into your muscle memory. It's like this sense of like, oh yeah, me and the lemon cake.
Right.
What are we going to do today? Are you going to run a little bit, you know, like thicken the batter? Oh, I'll add just a little bit more liquid. Or, yeah, I've got some thyme in the backyard. I'm going to throw some thyme in my syrup. And that's where I have got a lot of pleasure from baking is because the cakes aren't elaborate, I can then bring a bit of creativity to them.
In the frostings and the fillings.
Yeah.
When you think about putting cakes together, right? So you're thinking of making a cake for someone really special, whether they have that broken heart or they're just down in the dumps, or it's their birthday. How do you think about putting together the cake, the filling, and the frosting? Like, what's your thought process in the flavor combinations and the textural combinations?
If it's someone specific and a dear friend, and I know that they love my lemon cake, mm-hmm. I'll give them what they want.
right, of course.
But then if I think, okay, I've got my coconut cake, and then I think, well, raspberries go really well with coconut. Maybe I've got a punnet of raspberries. I'll put them either in the batter or I'll serve them on the side. And then I'll think, okay, so I've got coconut. Maybe I want a bit of crunch on top. So I'll think about toasting some coconut flake and then, you know, some dollops of whipped cream. And so I'm just trying to, like, get all my senses and all the textures just bang on the money. But I also think at the same time, right now, there's like a tendency in food in general to just be throwing in too many flavors. Like sometimes I think we just are trying to squeeze too many things in there at once. And I really love when there's like a hero flavor, you know, say with the coconut cake, coconut's the hero flavor. And I'm just going to let that shine. And whatever I add in there, I just want it to be like the backup singer. It's like, okay, you know what? Cardamom goes really well with coconut. So I'm going to throw some cardamom in there, but I'm not going to have it be overwhelming. I'm going to have it be subtle.
And let the coconut shine.
Yeah.
Odette, thank you so much for talking cake with us.
Thank you.
That was our contributor, Melissa Clark, with Odette Williams, author of Simple Cake, All You Need to Keep Your Friends and Family in Cake. You can learn more about Odette and the book at splendidtable.org, and more importantly, while you're there, you can look for the simple cake recipes she shared with us. That's all we have for today. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, please take a moment and leave us a review wherever you got this podcast. I'm Francis Lamb, and we'll see you next time. All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.